This morning we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, so I encourage you to turn there. And whilst you're turning, we're going to introduce the Guatemala team to you. Come on up if you're going to on the Guatemala team. And we have 19 people who are going to Guatemala. We figured that since it's the Guatemala team, we ought to have them go to Guatemala. We thought that would be reasonable. Holy moly, is this all 19 of them? No, not quite. This is a lot of folks here. You're supposed to be on that side. But we have an opportunity to be praying for these people as they go do as representatives of this fellowship for the work of the kingdom in Guatemala this summer. We're just thankful to be a part. Now, when are you guys leaving?
3 days. June 3rd.
How many days, Scott? 53. Okay, and what's the date, Jared?
June 3rd.
June 3rd. And how long are you going to be gone for?
10 days.
And they have done a lot more construction in the past than they're going to be doing this time. There will be some building, but mostly what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, we're going to, as we go down there, we are going to do some building, but we're going to be doing a lot of street evangelism, promotion of Iglesia Galilea and their churches in the different cities and villages we go to. We're also going to be doing a VBS, and so we're very excited about that at one of the schools that Iglesia Galilea supports. So we're going to be more gospel focus this time, which is exciting for our team.
All right, good. And they've had several meetings already equipping them to do street evangelism and some opportunities already going door to door. There's going to be another opportunity this Saturday at 1 o'clock. They're going to be meeting at Jared's house if you'd like to be a part of that. Going door to door and just doing some evangelizing this week, then holler at them and be a part of that. But this is a great opportunity for us to be praying for them. How are we doing financially?
We're doing pretty good this year. Everybody's been very diligent about raising their funds and the project costs. There's still a little room to make up. So if God is moving you, there's two ways you can give. You can give to the work we're doing, costs for the houses, work on the churches and things like that. Or you can give to people's personal travel costs, and several people still have a little ways to go. So in these last month and a half, that'd be really awesome.
All right. So we have a lot of things to be praying for. I would encourage you to grab one of these folks afterwards and promise them that for the next 53 days in preparation, and then for the 10 days while they're down there, and then the days after, that you're going to be praying for them. And if God moves on you to give some money toward this project, either in the projects that they're going to be building or getting these folks down there and back, there's no one on this team that we want to leave down there this year. Then let's be generous with that. This is a great opportunity. Let's pray together for these folks. God, thank you for the opportunity to share, just to be a part of your kingdom in another part of the world. You told us to go into the uttermost parts. And Father, we thank you for these folks who have surrendered, answered your call to go on this trip. Now, Father, we want to be good backers of them, prayer support, financial support. And Father, if while they're gone, some feel that you're calling them to serve you more permanently in a foreign field, God, we want to be able and be willing to say yes. We'll do whatever you've called us to do. God, thank you for this group. I ask you to bless them and use them in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure and catch up with these folks afterwards and find out how you can pray specifically for them. We're going to be in 1 Chronicles 4. Now, we've had verses for upcoming sermons in the bulletin. It's not in the bulletin this week. Ashton did not put it in the bulletin because Robert did not get it to her. Ashton does an amazing job. She is greatly limited by what she has to work with. So if you want to be reading ahead for next week's reading, it's going to be in 1 Kings chapter 3. Pastor Kevin's going to be talking with us about Solomon's prayer. And encourage you to read there, 1 Kings chapter 3. Today we are in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And just a little two-verse prayer by a guy named Jabez. Let's look at what it says there, 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. We find Jabez in the middle of a genealogy. Several years ago, Reader's Digest put out a condensed version of the Bible, and they cut out a lot of the genealogies. I don't know what they did with this one. I don't know if poor Jabez was cut out of there, but this is a great example of there is always one more treasure to find if you just keep digging. Because Jabez is a great little man. Now, there are only two verses here, and we think, well, that's hardly enough to be mentioned, but I can tell you how much he's mentioned. He's mentioned exactly two verses more than either you or me in the Bible. And we don't know a whole lot about Jabez. We just have the one verse 9 that tells us a little about him, and then verse 10 that tells us what his prayer was. But there are some deductions that have been made that are presumably reasonable. First off, we can assume, the Jewish writers assumed, they believed that he was a great scholar, that he established the school that is mentioned in 1 Chronicles 2:55. There's a town named Jabez. They assume that it was named after him because he established the school for scholars there. We don't know that, but it's not unreasonable to conclude that. We also feel it could be reasonable to believe that he lived during the time of the conquest, when the children of Israel were taking the land that they had been promised, and when they're engaging the enemy, we believe he might very probably have lived then, because a part of his prayer is, enlarge my border. I want to take what you promised me. And the third thing that's not difficult to assume is that he was picked on. He was made fun of. And that's a part of his prayer. It's generally assumed that he is related to those folks in verse 8. Look there. It's assumed that his dad was this dude named Cause, and just Cause, you know. And he had a brother named Anub and one Zobibah, and the clans of Aharhel and the son of Haram, that these were his relatives. We're not certain of that, but it's assumed that he was related to them. And then it says in verse 9 that he, Jabez, was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Have you ever heard the song A Boy Named Sue? Multiply that times pain, you know. How would you like to walk in every time you meet somebody? Hi there, what's your name? Pain. Pain in the neck or somewhere else. Nuisance in the neck, you know. But the word pain is built, his name is built off of the same word that's used in Genesis 3:16 when God looked at Eve and said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. And sure enough, she had pain. Now, we don't know what led up to this. Maybe she was just tired of having kids. Maybe this one hurt worse than the others. We do not know. But she's not the only person in the Bible to name a child based on the experience she had when they were being born. When Rachel was giving birth to her last child, she lay dying as the child was being born. And after the child was born and before she died, she said, I'm going to name this child Benoni, which means son of my pain or son of my sorrow. And the father looked at that and said, you know, I don't want my son going through life being called son of a pain. I'm going to change his name to Benjamin. Instead of a curse, I'm going to give him the name of a blessing, son of the right hand. And when the children of Israel had gone into battle and they lost the battle, first off, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured, secondly, and when Eli heard about it, the high priest, the Bible says he fell over backwards and broke his neck and died. His daughter-in-law, who was pregnant, went into labor, and with all of the things, the terrible things that had just happened, she decided to name her kid Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. How would you like it every time you walk in to say, well, there went the fun. Glory has now left. Those are not very cheery names. And there are a lot of times that parents name or nickname their children something based on some act or conduct from their childhood. How many of you have done this? How many of you had it done that you introduce your children? Yeah, this is our son. He's the rebellious one. Oh, here's our daughter. She's the independent one. Or here's our strong-willed child. It's speaking a curse over him, just like Jabez. Here's our child. This one will lie to you. This one's the whiner. This one's the klutz. This is the sick one. This is our not-quite-bright bulb. You know, this is our dim little bulb here. There's a worship song back in the 90s called I Will Change Your Name, and it's taken off that passage in Revelation 2:17 where it says that God will give you a new name. that you will be dealt with in terms of what he has to say about you, not what other people have to say about you. And that's what Jabez is asking for here. God, deal with me in terms of who you make me to be rather than what other people have said about me. And look at the names of his siblings. I mean, he has a lot to contend with here. He has a brother named Anub, which means to bear fruit, to be fruitful. It's a blessing name. You know, and his brother Zobeba, the canopy, or the one who protects. If you're in trouble, get Zobeba. He'll take care of you. And then you have Aharhel, he's behind the entrenchment, it's safety. And Haram, high, the tower over. And Jabez, pain. Man, it just makes it stand out all the more, doesn't it? It's kind of like, here are our five children, let me introduce you to our children. Here's our oldest son, Adonis Thor. We call him A.T. for short. And here's our second son, Mark Wahlberg, Jason Statham. We call him Mark Wahlberg, Jason Statham for short, because it's just such a cool name. And here are our twin daughters, Cherished and Charity, and then there's that guy. What do you call that guy? Well, his name's Mistake. Oops. Here's our little 1% failure rate. And Denise is shaking her head. I can't believe it. Well, at least you didn't name him Braxton Hicks, unless, of course, Jabez is Hebrew for Braxton Hicks, you know. Jabez got tired of the abuse. He got tired of being dealt with in terms of what other people had to say about him. And he turned to the only one who is capable of changing our essential nature in the first place. And it says in verse 10, he called upon the God of Israel. Verse 9 tells us what little we know about Jabez. Verse 10 tells us his prayer, and it's four things that he asked for. Look at what it says. First off, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, number two. Number three, that your hand might be with me. And number four, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. First off, oh, that you would bless me. And we look at that and we go, well, that sounds kind of like a selfish prayer, a childish prayer. Children are the ones that bless me, Lord. Bless me now, O Lord, we pray. And Perry Como sang the song, Bless This House. And O Lord, we pray, keep it safe by night and day. And it seems like kind of an introductory thing until we begin to look at what the Bible is really talking about when it's talking about asking to be blessed. And what we're going to do as we move through this prayer series is start with an introductory approach to prayer and move through maturity as we move through this prayer series. Last week, Jared talked to us about, we just have the opportunity to pray. Just pray. This is what God's invited us to do. He's invited us to have a conversation with Him. Oh, holy night, here's an idea. Let's do it. And so many of us start with, here are all of my things that I want you to bless. This is what I'm trying to do. Bless me, bless me, bless me. But when we look at what Jabez is actually praying here, we're going to realize he's not praying for the cessation or the lack of responsibilities. He's praying for an increase in responsibilities. And next week, Pastor Kevin's going to be talking with us about Solomon's prayer when he realizes, I'm just a kid with all these responsibilities. Boy, I need your wisdom. I need your help. And we're going to move through a maturing process as we move through this prayer series. There's a growth that takes place. God is inviting us to walk with Him in this growing process. In the format of this prayer, look at what he does there. Oh, that you would bless me. This is Old Testament verbiage for a vow. He's making a vow. And what happened in a vow is the person making the vow would say, here's my end of it. God, if you will do these things for me, then here's my end of it. I will do this for you. If you will, and he has four things. If you will bless me, if you will enlarge my territory, if your hand will be on me, and if you will not let people deal with me in terms of my name. And so that's, God, this is what I want from you. And so now it's time to hear Jabez's side of this vow, but we never hear it. And I wonder if it's because God was so fascinated, so amazed, so thankful to have somebody praying to him, that in verse 10 it says, and God granted what he asked before Jabez could come out with anything that he's going to do in response. If you'll do these things for me, then I'll do this. God interrupted and said, no, I'm just going to answer your prayer. It's kind of like the prodigal son when he's down there in the pig pen. He's munching on swill down there, and This isn't really a great idea. I don't really like what's happened here. And he comes up with this idea. He realizes, my dad has servants that live better than I do. Here's what I'll do. I'll go to him and I'll tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm going to admit, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And here's my request. treat me as one of your hired servants. I'm going to go home and ask him for a job if you'll just take me in. Just give me food and shelter. And so he headed home and he's going over this speech in his mind, just like all of us have done. You know, we're going into the boss, we're going into our parents, we're going into our spouse, and we're going over this speech, rehearsing it. And all the way home, he's rehearsing it. He arose, Luke 15:20, came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. He couldn't even get to the front porch before his father mowed him down with joy and thankfulness that his son had come home. But he had his rehearsed speech. And so in verse 21, the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And before he can get to the request of, "Please just let me be a servant," the father cuts him off and says to the servant, "Bring quickly the best robe." He reinstates him before he can even come to his end of the bargain. That's kind of what happens with Jabez here. Jabez asks God for four things, and God is so intrigued and so thankful that he's wanting to enter into a relationship with him, to God, before he can do anything else, before he can say anything else, God answers his request across the board. He's asking for a blessing. And what is Jabez really asking for? We get a hint of it when we look at the rest of his prayer. Look there in verse 10. He's asking, first off, for increased responsibilities, because he said, "Enlarge my border." He's asking next that God's presence go with him when he said that your hand might be with him. And he's also asking that he not reap the pain of what has been sown by his name when he says, "And that you would not, that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." He's not asking for a cessation of difficulty. He's asking that he not reap the consequences of what other people have said about him. How many of you have had other people give you names that you haven't appreciated? I've heard some of the names people have called me over the years, and some of them you can actually repeat in polite society, you know. I don't want to be judged according to what, I don't want to be judged according to what other people think about me. God, judge me, deal with me in terms of what you know about me. That's what he's asking. But he prayed, "Oh, that you would bless me." What does it mean to be blessed in the Bible? And when we look at blessing, we say, "God, bless me." What does that mean? I want more money, and I want more time to play Nintendo with. I want everybody to love me or leave me alone. I don't know that I care which. That's an idea of blessing for us. But friends, that's not blessing in the Bible. That is not what Jabez is asking for. We look at it, if we could just have all the money we needed and all the time and nobody to take away from either of them, that would be wonderful. But when the Bible talks about blessing, the Bible talks about an increase in responsibility, an increase in opportunities to serve, attended with the presence of God's good hand, accompanied by His guidance. Let's think about a blessing in the Bible. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5. It says, "Children are the heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them." And we have a lot of folks in this room who'd say, "Well, I've never had kids, never been married, never had kids. So that verse doesn't apply to me." And I would say, nonsense. That's hogwash. Friends, there are people in this room who have done a better job of parenting children that they did not raise, they did not bear, they did not carry. They have done a better job of being parents to those who were looking for counsel, advice, encouragement than the people who gave them birth. Say, "Well, I've never had children, so that doesn't apply to me." That most certainly applies to anyone who is going to take on the responsibility of parenting other people. And friends, if you have been a blessing to those who are looking for counsel, I would submit to you that verse applies to you. And blessed is the man who has his quiver full of people who are coming to you. It is a responsibility to be asked for advice. And if you find yourself having ministered to, mentored into, discipled the lives of other people, young men and young women who come to you and say, "I need help with this." Friends, this verse applies to you. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And if we're going to look at blessing as the increase of baubles and the cessation of responsibility, then let's have all the kids we can have, right? Because the more kids we have, the less work. Don and I had 5 kids. By the time the 5th one came along, I just couldn't get her off the sofa. I mean, she was watching soap operas all day and eating bonbons, you know. And there was nothing for me to do, so I just sat and played my banjo all the time. Friends, blessing is not the cessation of responsibility, its purpose in responsibility. And people look at us. I had this dude come up to me one time and say, yeah, but your kids were perfect kids. You don't understand what it's like to raise the kids that I have. And it's like, that's hysterical. You're serious, aren't you? You know, we said for years, we'd be driving down the road. And when you have more responsibility, more kids, more blessing, it means more work. It means more noise. It means more difficulty. We'd be driving down the roads and here comes the noise. And I'd look at Don and say, kill one. I don't care which one, just kill one. And the rest of them will get the point. They will learn. We used to have 7 kids. And friends, Jabez is not asking for his responsibilities to be reduced. He's asking for them to be increased when he says, enlarge my border. I want more to do for you. I want something of significance. But in the event that you give this to me, and I'm supposed to do it under my own power, God, don't let that happen. And so he moves to this second aspect of this prayer, the accompaniment to the greater responsibility, and that is, verse 10, that your hand might be with me. Friends, the greater blessing, the greater responsibility of greater blessing is linked with a greater fellowship with the Father. And to be blessed is to be used, it's to be guided by the one whom we are serving. And when we think about those we think of as being blessed, how many? They don't have fewer responsibilities. They have more responsibilities. We look at Warren Buffett, supposedly the richest man in America. I don't know. I forgot to check his bank account this week. So, oh, he's so blessed. He has all that money. He can sit back and do nothing. Friends, it is hard work to administrate wealth. I have never known a lazy, wealthy person. They work because it is hard work to administrate properly the blessing of finances. And there are few people who can bear up under the weight of it. To be blessed does not mean to have more with less responsibility. It means to have more responsibility with a purpose behind it. Look, oh, I wish I could have the blessing of good health. I wish I could be as blessed as health with Glenn Apgar. I mean, to be that old and still be in good health. And oh, what a blessing. Friends, it is a blessing. His car breaks down all the time, apparently, because he's always running. And friends, it is a blessing, but it's a blessing that has to be administrated. It has to be overseen. It has to be dealt with properly. This past year, I went to see a doctor, and I'm going to make him listen to this sermon so that he knows I called him a doctor. That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. Anyway, I went to see a doctor, and he said, Robert, you've been blessed with really good health. I mean, to be as old as you are and in this kind of shape, that's really a blessing. But we got to talk about that sweet tea. It's kind of like, now you've gone to meddling. Because I'd drink a gallon of sweet tea a year and a half ago. I'd drink a gallon of sweet tea every 3-4 days, something like that. He said, Ryan, my sweet tea, when you pour it, you have to cut it with scissors, you know. And he said, Robert, you've been blessed with good health, but you have to administrate this or you're going to injure yourself. And so about a little over a year ago, I quit drinking as much sweet tea. And in the past year, I've drinking about 1 gallon of sweet tea. That is such a bummer. Man, Robert's not nearly as happy as he used to be. And friends, to administrate properly the blessing that we have, sometimes it is an increased difficulty. It's an increased burden. It means cutting out some of the stuff that we enjoy. It means turning off the Nintendo. Here's your weird and wild idea for 1 week. Just 1 week. And taking the time that is invested in something that produces nothing to just for 1 week just produce something that will be of benefit to yourself and others in long terms. I was talking with a brother this past week in California. He said, Robert, I'm 76 years old and I'm so blessed with my health. I work hard every day. I work out hard 4 days a week and I don't take any medicine. Here I am, 76. I'm so blessed. And friends, the blessing of good health, it is something that we need to be thankful for, but it's something that's administrated. It's something that is worked on. And to think that blessing is the cessation of work or responsibility is just completely wrong. It is the increase of responsibility and the reliance on God's good hand to guide us in that work. We look at blessing as, well, that's the end of work. It is not the end of work. Well, work is the curse. Work is not a curse. The curse came in Genesis chapter 3. God had already given us work in Genesis 2:15 when it says that He put us in the garden to work and to keep the garden. Work is a blessing from God. And as Americans, we look for ways to get out of work. And how much earlier can I retire and do absolutely nothing? If you want people who are in trouble, if you want people who are going to die soon, it's those who quit their jobs and have absolutely nothing to do after that. Or if you want boredom and no purpose and ill health, it's those people who have nothing to do. They quit their job. They have no hobbies, no interests, nothing to do that's meaningful to them or to others. They're the ones who die young. And if you want a sad place, go to a retirement home where nobody has anything to do. It's a sad place. We buried Juanita Carper. She passed away here recently. She came to our first service. I'm pretty sure she was 95 years old. And you think, 95 years old, man alive, not much to do. I said, Juanita, what do you do with your time? She said, I write letters. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I'll enjoy getting letters. When was the last time you got a letter? She didn't type. She didn't write emails. She didn't send texts. She wrote letters. Now, there used to be this thing called handwriting. I didn't have to describe this in the first service, but the second service, well, you had a piece of paper and you had an implement that put ink or pencil on paper. You write, see, with your hand. And you send a letter. And I said, Juanita, that's great. I love getting the occasional letter. I don't get very many of them. Neither do most of us. I said, how many people do you write letters to? And I thought, oh, 10, 15, that's great. Over 100. Wow. You want to know why that woman lived to be 95? Do you know why she had as much vitality as she did when she left us? It's because she had something to do. And friends, it is a blessing to have something to do. It is a blessing to have work that is meaningful and has eternal consequence. And as Americans, we are so tempted to say, well, bless me and get me out of this work. That work is God's blessing to you. It's His gift to you. It's something to do that benefits society. It benefits you. It benefits other people. And we come to Him as Christians and say, God, I want more to do. Enlarge my territory. And in enlarging it, I want Your hand to be upon me. Give me more of Your grace, so that I can accomplish more effectively. And this was the prayer of blessing that Jabez prayed. Now, how many of you want to be blessed? This is what it is. Greater opportunity to serve God. And look at what he does there in verse 10. It's interesting he asked this blessing while praying to, in verse 10, Jabez called upon the God of Israel. He addressed God by a title. Now, Jared talked with us last week about the Lord's Prayer and that we have a title that they did not have access to prior to Jesus. And that was that we don't address Him as the God of somebody else. It's not the God of us once removed. It's not the God of us by terms of who we're related to. It's our Father. I am in a relationship with Him, not because of birth, not just by virtue of having been born or where I was born, but I'm in a relationship with Him because of new birth, because of adoption, because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. And so I come to Him and say, Father, Daddy, this is a good thing. And He had to deal with Him in terms of God, the God of Israel. But now we have the opportunity to come to Him in a relationship with Jesus Christ wherein we look at Him and say, you know, I've blown it. I have sinned against You. I have broken Your command. I have not listened to Your command, which is real simple. 1 John 3:23, this is His commandment, that you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, you can sit back and say, oh, I work hard. I do all these good things. I'm earning my way. But if you don't live by the commandment that you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, you're not in. Oh, I work so hard. I do all kinds of really good works. That's not the commandment. The commandment is believe. And we come to Him and say, Father, I have to confess I haven't believed. I have broken Your command. I have sinned against You and I am really sorry. Would You please forgive me of that? You loved me before my parents even knew I was going to exist, and You loved me so much that You died for my sin. How can I do anything other than say, here's my life. Do with me whatever You want. And we move into a personal relationship with Him because of what Jesus has done for us. But Jabez had to address God in terms of the God of Israel. And if there's anybody in the Bible who found blessing in the face of difficulty, it was that man Jacob who became Israel. Think about it. He was disliked by his father. spoiled rotten by his mother. His daddy hated him because he's a mama's boy, and his mama made sure he was a mama's boy, spoiled him rotten. Didn't get along with his brother, cheated his brother, so he ran off, found some guy, decided to work for this man for years, and had daughters, and said, I'll work for you if you let me marry one of your daughters. Okay, sounds good. And then wakes up the next morning and goes, ugh, I didn't mean that one. You know, that would be a terrible picture, you know, from our honeymoon, you know. He's tricked by his father-in-law who he'd gone into business with. He gets tricked in that, cheated. Decides to run away from his father-in-law and all the difficulty there, and here comes his daddy-in-law. He's gonna get him back, you know. And God sent a dream to his father-in-law, said, leave him alone. Now he's gonna get home, and he has to sneak through his brother's territory, and his brother found out that he's coming. Now my brother's gonna kill me. Jacob has, if anybody's had difficulty, it has been Jacob. And the passage that Sean read to us this morning is his prayer. It's his encounter with God after having prayed, I want you to bless me. Okay, I'm going to bless you. It's reasonable that Jacob would say in Genesis 42, all these things are against me. And as he's going home, he gets bushwhacked that night by some dude who comes in and wrestles with him all night long. And come morning, the guy looks at him and says, I need you to let me go. And there in Genesis 32:25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now look at this. Jacob can't stand anymore. He's down on the ground, and all he can do is hang on to this guy as he's trying to get away, much like your grandchildren when you're trying to leave the house, you know. Jacob's hanging on. He's not letting go of him. And the man looks at him and says, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob is as out of the fight as the movie where the sentry's standing there and he won't let anybody pass. And the guy comes up to him and cuts both his arms off, and he walks past and says, come back here, you can't pass. You have to come back. And he says, what are you going to do? Bleed on me? You have no arms. It's just a flesh wound. I'm invincible. And for those of you who know what movie that is, you're welcome. I've never seen it. I've just heard about it. But anyway, from my kids. Anyway, that's the situation Jacob is in. I'm not going to let you go. Hanging on to him. And friends, that man Jesus turned around and blessed Jacob. He said, you've been called Jacob, trickster, wrestler, troublemaker. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What does he do? I'm going to change your name. Israel. Now you're a prince of God. But you're going to walk with a limp for the rest of your life as a reminder of what you experienced with God right here. Let me throw this in here for free to the parents and grandparents in the group. It's so easy as parents to look at what our children are going through and we want to rescue them out of all of their problems. Oh, it's so difficult in our relationship with Jesus, and I just want to rescue you from all of your problems. But the interesting reality is, how many of us in this room as parents and grandparents came to a relationship with Jesus not because everything was simple and easy, but because there was difficulty and we had to wrestle some things through with Him? That there were difficulties, we had to look at Him and say, what does this mean? What does your word mean here? And we were left to wrestle with Him until we got an answer. And there are some of us in this room that walk with a limp. And then how unreasonable is it to think that as parents it is our responsibility to protect our children from the very thing that brought us to Jesus? Oh, I want them to get it easier than I did. It's not yours to determine. This is their walk with God. And we try and rescue our children from all of their wrestling matches, when in reality it's our responsibility to get down on the mat next to them and whisper in their ear, you keep going, don't you quit now. It's worth the difficulty. I know it's hard, but you keep going. What's that? What does that verse say? What does that verse mean? Don't you let go of it until you get an answer from God, rather than trying to rescue them from all of their problems. Friends, biblical blessing is not about the ending of responsibility. It's about the receiving of more responsibility with the presence of the hand of God to guide us. Wow. And don't be surprised if blessing comes with the occasional pain, as Jabez found. Don't be surprised if the blessing of God comes with the occasional limp, as Jacob found. And don't be surprised, don't be angry at God if the blessing of God comes, as Paul found out, in 2 Corinthians 12, when he looked at Jesus and said, man, I have this thorn in my flesh and I wish you'd take it away. And Jesus looked at him and said, I'm not going to take it away, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you grace. I'll give you more of my grace in the middle of it. And friend, we want everything, we want blessings so that we have no problems. Paul had problems, he had a thorn. But in 2 Corinthians 12:10, in the middle of all of his weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, he also had God. And friends, that's what the prayer of Jabez is about. It's not that I have fewer responsibilities. It's not that I have less to do and more possessions. It's that, God, please use me for something that's worth eternal significance. And in your using me, guide me. Can I give you a challenge? Can I give you a challenge for this week that instead of looking for less responsibility, would you be willing to ask for more of Him? More of His hand to guide and protect. Could I challenge you? Would you be willing to receive the responsibilities that He has already entrusted to you as a sacred trust and an invitation into an eternal purpose with Him? How many of us are looking at what He calls a blessing and we call it a curse? How many of us are looking at the difficulty of that job? I just hate this job. If I could just get out of this job, and my life would be so much easier. 5 kids if we just had 4. If we just had 4. How many of us are looking at what He has already given us as a blessing and calling it a curse? Oh, that's not right. That's not right. Would you be willing this week to just look at your life and say, God, I'm really sorry for having despised the good gift of God. You've given me a blessing and I've cursed it. I've said it's not a blessing. I've said it's a burden. God, I want to ask you to forgive me of that. Here's an assignment for the week, if you're up for it. What are you blessed with that you have considered a curse? What is some work or responsibility you have despised which actually points to the blessing of trust and usefulness? Would you be willing to say thank you? What is something that you have decided? Here's another challenge. What is something you have decided would be a great blessing? If I could just have this, and God, if you'll give me this, then I'll give you my life. I'll give you so much more if you'll just do what I want you to do, and He has not given it to you. Would you be willing to look at that and say, God, I'm going to choose to receive your blessing of knowing more than me. And if you have chosen to say no to that for the time being at this situation, then I'm just choosing to say, okay, thanks for knowing more than me. Would you be willing to leave your demands at His feet and be content with His answer? Would you be willing, instead of asking more for more things, to ask for more of Him? Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders, and that your hand would be upon me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what He asked. Let's pray. Father, we find ourselves in a society that looks for less and less, while you look at our society and say, but there's more and more to be done. Father, could we pray this as a church? That you would enlarge our borders. That we would see that as a blessing. That your hand would be upon us. And that you would not cause us to suffer the consequence of what other people say. Father, as individuals, would we be willing this next week to look at our lives and finally say thank you for something that we have despised for so long? For the marriage that hasn't worked out like I thought it would, but it's made me look more like Jesus, can I say thank you? For the demand for a spouse that hasn't come and hasn't come and hasn't come. And somehow I have been drawn closer to you. Can I say thank you for that? Father, we make so many demands on you, and when we don't get what we've stomped our foot for, We get so easily offended, we want to stop and say, I'm really sorry about that. Father, please give us grace to leave at your feet the disposal of our requests. Because of your greater wisdom to be able to say, we trust you. God, in all of our having, in all of our getting, in all of our demanding, could we please, just for a moment, say, and your good hand to guide me. God, place your hand on us as individuals, as a fellowship. May we truly sing with this song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, in any way you choose to bring it.